As we saw a week or two ago, our theme for the year is straining toward heaven in 2011. Straining toward heaven in 2011. And our theme verse for the year is here in Philippians chapter 3. Let's reflect on that once again. Let's take a look at verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken yet to have taken hold of it, that it being the heavenly prize, eternal life. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That is the focus of this year's emphasis, is that we push ourselves, that we strain to grow in faith, to grow closer to Christ, to obtain that prize of eternal life in Jesus. And we are looking again in this chapter at another illustration that Paul the Apostle used. The first one that we saw 2 weeks ago was that of running the race, of pushing ourselves and not quitting, continuing to press on toward the goal, as Paul says. This morning, we are going to see that he kind of tweaks the analogy and uses a little bit different illustration later in the chapter that is about a person in a country that is not their own, being a stranger, a foreigner to that country, and moving through that country with purpose and intent. Let's take a look at that, starting in verse 17. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. So you can see here a theme of living in a land or in a country that is not native to you, that you're kind of foreign to. And this is appropriate also as an illustration for us, because as we go about our lives, as people of God, we're going to live somewhat differently than the culture that we are in. There's going to be many things, decisions, and actions that we will take that others will not. A good example of which is our presence here this morning. When an individual does not have a love for God in their heart, when they have no desire, no passion for pleasing him, they don't find a necessity to worship him. On the other hand, the Christian knows that it's important for us to stay connected to God, to honor him, to worship him, and that's why we make the effort to come to his house of worship. And in many other ways, we are different than the society around us. We're moving through this life toward a heavenly goal, but instead of using the illustration of racing and running, it's the illustration more of like an ambassador. That's what Paul calls us in 2 Corinthians. He says that we are God's ambassadors, ambassadors for Jesus Christ, and God is making his appeal to the world through us. Just as an ambassador for a country lives in a place outside of their homeland, and they represent the values and ideals and the principles and the plans of that country, so also we are doing the same thing as Christians in whatever culture we are living. So let's take a look at how this is going about here. When Paul says that in verse 17, he says, join with others in following my example and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Paul is kind of using the analogy or the illustration of a person who is living their life, traveling toward heaven, but they're doing so in a different way than the majority. Thinking of the theme of like traveling, I was working my mind through the scriptures, and I realized that there's a lot of illustrations of people moving toward a goal in the scriptures. For instance, Abraham, when he was called by God, he left his home, and the Lord said, I will send you to a land that I will show you. And much of the story of Abraham is surrounding his trek, his journey toward the promised land. And remember, God had said that he would give him this land. It's very interesting that Abraham did not take possession of that first little bit of that promised land until he purchased the cave of Machpelah as a burial site for his wife Sarah. So God was fulfilling this promise in a most unusual fashion. Who would think that the first little bit of the promised land to fall into the hands of Abraham would be the burial plot for his wife? So sometimes God fulfills these promises in very unusual ways. As we continue thinking about people that were traveling in a foreign land, people that were occupying a space that wasn't native to them, the Israelites themselves were freed from Egypt. And then at Mount Sinai, God organized them officially into a nation. And then they had to wander around the desert for 40 years until finally they were ready to go in and to take possession of this land that was not their own. They had to fight for it and take possession of it. Even Jesus was not attached to one location. As he came in order to be the Messiah, he has this restlessness. He constantly wants to move from town to town. He doesn't come like many big ministries do today and find a spot and set up shop. He didn't, let's say, go to Capernaum and say, okay, here's going to be my headquarters, and anybody who wants to be in contact to me will come to me. Instead, he travels throughout the land, and we have the history of his encounters with people as he moves throughout Israel. And the apostles followed suit in the early church. It wasn't a case of like, okay, well, here in Israel is the center of Christianity, and everyone has to come here. Instead, they went to different countries. They scattered abroad and took the gospel message with them. So many of these individuals experienced their faith in different cultures and in places that were foreign to them. So the theme of being an ambassador of Jesus, being in a culture that you're a little bit different from, is very common. One thing that's kind of interesting about us in our day and age is that whereas Christianity was a stronghold here in North America, we've been saying over the last several years that we believe that America is paganizing and against the will of the Christians, that there are many in our culture who are atheist or who are agnostic, and Christians are having to work politically to try to retain the rights and the privileges of being a Christian nation. However, we see assaults and attacks on this. So in many respects, we are in a culture that is at times hostile or at best indifferent to Christianity. So the principle of being an ambassador for Jesus, a representative of Christ, takes on more significance as time passes. And as we see this, we can certainly realize that there are instances, people that we know, who fit what's said in verse 18. Paul says, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Just this last week, I saw reference to a Christian classic, a book by the name of The Pilgrim's Progress. And some of you may have read this book, perhaps even in school, it was required reading as one of the classics of literature. The book was written by a man named Paul Bunyan, and it's one of the few books that since the 1600s has never been out of print. That's how profound and how loved that book is. The actual title, the full title of the book is Pilgrim's Progress from This World to That Which Is to Come. You notice that there is a sense of movement, of going through this life and living this life well as a believer as you are heading toward the next life in heaven. And that's what Paul is talking about. Many people live their lives for an earthly existence. Many are consumed with satisfying their fleshly desires, their earthly needs, and they're not thinking in terms of living in such a fashion that they're prepared for life eternal. I actually thought about, when I was reminded of that book and about the protagonist Christian, who moves through all of these locations and runs into all these different situations and people, I thought that would be a good book for Pastor Doug's book club. It would be a classic piece of Christian literature that we all could benefit from as we're reminded about this process of being a pilgrim here, a person who is not local but is passing through. I definitely got that kind of sense this last weekend when I was in Las Vegas at the Consumer Electronics Show. I was covering part of the show as a reporter. And boy, you talk about what Paul says about individuals whose God is their stomach, their destiny is destruction. You know, it is so sad to see so many people involved in fruitless activities, you know, gambling. You know, I'm not a proponent of gambling. I detest it. And to just see so many individuals that are just wasting their means, their income just getting dumped down a slot machine, very, very frustrating. And I certainly felt like this foreigner in that city. I would get up in the morning in order to go for a run or do a workout. I'd have my shorts and running shoes on and a jacket, and I'd walk through the casino. Well, I'm the only one who looks remotely like this, you know. Everyone else is bleary-eyed and a few walking around with drinks. They've been up all night and stuff like that. And here comes this totally foreign-looking guy. You know, I'm a native of the United States, but I'm looking like I'm someone from a different planet because I'm dressed to go and do a workout at 7 in the morning, you know. In my whole mind, I had this continuous sense of I do not want to be assimilated into this kind of culture, you know? And maybe you've had the same feeling when you've been in a place like that. We are different in our mindset. We're different in our perspective, in our goals, in our motivations. Everything about the Christian is different than the sin-filled culture around them. I had another good example of this, of an individual whom we can certainly say is moving toward their heavenly goal. There was in Sports Illustrated this week an interview. Sometimes I enjoy reading the interviews of athletes to get their mindset. And Dan Patrick often does these interviews, and he interviewed Tim Tebow, who is the Denver Broncos quarterback. And what he had to say here in part of the interview, Dan Patrick said, "Did anyone talk trash to you your rookie season?" And Tebow said, "A few people did. What did they say to you?" Most of the time it was, most of the time it was good luck, God bless, you play really hard, stuff like that. He's putting a good spin on it. That's funny. These guys are not saying good luck, play hard. And Dan Patrick said, "Oh, come on. Maybe Kurt Warner said that. Did the Raiders talk trash?" And Tim Tebow said, "Yeah, a little bit." And then Patrick said, when they talk trash, do you ever tell them you'll pray for them? And Tebow said, sometimes I'll throw out there, God bless, Jesus loves you. I can get pretty dirty too. That's great. And Dan Patrick says, so they curse and you say God bless? Tebow said, oh, absolutely. They don't know what to say. That is excellent. That's a good example of somebody who is being the light of the world, somebody who's the ambassador for Jesus, you know, involved in a bunch of worldliness and with individuals that want to influence and cause their negativity or their worldliness to be absorbed. And Tebow is saying, hey, I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm not going to act this way. I'm going to be different about things, right? You know, take a look at that again in verse 20, where Paul talks about that. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's a very important thought to keep in mind. You know, our home is in heaven. My mother, Sylvia, has as her favorite hymn, I Am But a Stranger Here. This used to be the last hymn in the previous hymnal, the Lutheran hymnal. I think it was number 550. It was the last hymn, I Am But a Stranger Here. Heaven is my home. Earth is a desert drear. Heaven is my home. Round me on every hand, danger and sorrow stand. Heaven is my fatherland. Heaven is my home. And I've always loved that hymn too. I'm sure that large part of it was because she loves it so much as well. But it really captures that sense of being a traveler, being an ambassador in a place that is not your real home. When Connie, who is a native Canadian, came down, she was not interested initially in assimilating herself and becoming an American. But as time went on, and she saw the political landscape and saw how many things were attempted to be changed in our culture that we felt were against God's will, she decided that was motivation enough to become a U.S. citizen. Because she wanted to be a part of the political process and to be able to vote and to use whatever clout she had to support Christian ideals. So we paid the several hundred dollars and she got a book to study up on American history and politics, and she took the exam. And finally the day came when she would be naturalized, when she would go downtown and take her oath as a U.S. citizen. So the day comes, it was a rather warm day, I believe it was a summer or fall day, and as we're heading down to the courthouse in order to have her naturalized, we see in the streets that there are demonstrations, and the demonstrations are being held by illegal immigrants, and they are chanting and demanding their rights for the same privileges as natural citizens. This was a great irony, considering that Connie had gone through the effort and we had paid the price in order to get her citizenship, and now these individuals were demanding the same. I cannot deny that we had a bitter feeling in our heart, considering that there were many individuals in our country who want to just be given and granted all these things, even though they have not paid the price to obtain them. I think citizenship is valuable, and I think there should be a price paid to attain it. And I think it entails adopting the culture of our country and not just simply inserting yourself while not trying to be an integral part of our country. So, you know, there's an interesting aspect to citizenship, and there's an importance attached to it. One thing I would like to remind us of, however, is that when Paul says we are citizens of heaven, if we want to be honest about it, we are the illegal immigrants. We are not naturally citizens of heaven. There is only one who is authentically a child of heaven, and that is Jesus Christ. But because of God's graciousness, because of his pardon, we, through Jesus, are granted citizenship. You might call it a supernaturalization process, whereby, because of God's mercy and forgiveness, we are adopted as his children and granted that status of being heavenly citizens. Well, that process will be complete upon Christ's return. Take a look at verse 20 and 21. This is what Paul and what all of us should be longing for, is when he says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. We are not yet fit to reside in heaven. We still have sin-corrupted bodies. They must be transformed before they are able to exist in that heavenly realm. That's why there's such joy and longing over the return of Jesus, because that will mean this transformation will take place and that we will finally be prepared fully to live in eternal glory. So the concept of citizenship in heaven should be a great motivator for us. It should motivate us, sort of like Tim Tebow, to resist worldliness, to consider ourselves as ambassadors, people in a sin-filled foreign culture, that we have to live and act differently than others because we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. But this should also be a great motivation and something to look forward to, because as Christ returns, our transformation will be complete, will be fitted and properly prepared for our future life with God in glory. Amen.